The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
Greetings, everyone who is listening to this podcast. Marilyn, I hope you are doing well. In the late 1800s, doctors and scientists believed in something called spontaneous generation. The idea behind this was that living organisms could suddenly pop up anywhere from non-living organisms. And this pretty much explained, in the late 1800s, sickness and disease. The assumption was that these diseases just sort of randomly, providentially popped up, and there was no investigation to determine how they related or transmitted. And then a guy named Louis Pasteur came along and he said, no, that's not the case at all, that there are invisible organisms that you cannot see that actually carry these diseases, carried by the wind, passed on by touching someone's skin. They can live in food, they can live on different surfaces. And that these diseases are not just cropping up randomly from non-living organisms, but there are invisible organisms. There's an invisible world that's impacting the visible world. And this invisible world of germs, as they would eventually be called, these microorganisms, as we later would call them, are everywhere and you just can't see them. And this unseen world of germs has the potential to destroy lives, families, communities, and create all kinds of sickness that goes all over the world and kills hundreds and thousands of people, all because of something you just can't see. So Pasteur put forth what became known as the germ theory of disease. They began washing their hands. They began separating people from each other. They began quarantining. They began watching to see if there was a transmission from one person to another or of a common disease. But many people in the medical and scientific community and people outside the medical and scientific community back in Pasteur's day thought it was crazy. You're telling us that there's an invisible world? That we're surrounded by all these invisible living organisms that impact our visible world? To which Louis Pasteur said, yes, absolutely. Nowadays, that's not a theory, right? In fact, we all believe, especially in these days, we believe in germs. We believe in this invisible world that impacts our invisible world greatly. And interestingly enough, the Bible talks about an invisible world as well. But not invisible germs, but an invisible enemy that impacts our visible world every single day of our lives. Now, about a year ago or so, we did a message from Psalm 91. It's a really great psalm, and especially during our current virus crisis. So I would like for us to look at it once again, along with some other passages. We learned that every ancient song, like every favorite worship song of ours today, has its own rhythm, tune, voice, if you will, message and tone, such as assurance or dependence or trust, a tone of contemplation or celebration. Looking at key words in this song, we discover its tone is one of warfare and battle and conflict. And so doing a quick scan of the chapter, we notice words and phrases such as shelter or refuge or fortress, a shield, a rampart, terror of night, arrow that flies by day, pestilence, destroys, a guard, protect, rescue, deliver, satisfy. These are all words that we see in this psalm, indicating that it is indeed a psalm of warfare, battle, and conflict. So the next question we would ask, the next thing we want to notice is, who is the enemy? Is it Israel's national adversaries? No. An actual person who's opposing the writer of this psalm? I don't think so. Let's scan a few more verses and see if we can identify the enemy. We see terms like the fowler's snare, the wicked, disaster, the lion, the cobra, and serpent. Then consider the promise of angelic assistance found in verses 11 and 12, as well as divine deliverance that we find in verses 14 and 15. It says, "For he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift you up into their hands." It says that the Lord will rescue him, will protect him. He says, "I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him." So when you put it all together, it builds a strong case for a song about surviving the attacks of our invisible spiritual enemies, Satan and his demons. It talks about a battle in the unseen spiritual realm where our enemy lurks, but where our God is greater. This ancient hymn tells of God's protective care, about being under his mighty wing. Good news, good things we need to know and apply to our lives today. So first of all, we notice in verse 1 and 2, God's protective care. He is our refuge. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." We have a new phrase floating around in our society today. It's called shelter in place. Thousands of years ago, David wrote, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Actually, it's believed that Moses is the writer of Psalm 91. The word "dwells" is from a Hebrew word that not only means to live, but to sit down and make yourself at home. I like that. The writer is saying, as we come into God's shelter, it is to be a place where we are at home, where we're at peace, where we are most comfortable. The word speaks of consistency and comfort. The place where you dwell is the place where you consistently live every day. For most people, it's their home. A place where they're more comfortable than any other place. Dwelling under God's shelter is being comfortable then with the Lord's leadership, yielding the control of your life to the Lord, trusting in him and his will with confidence, joy, and peace, for we are, after all, under his roof in this understanding. When we entrust our lives to God's care, we will find rest in the shelter. In other words, the hiding place, the covering, the protection of God Almighty. We must never forget that believers in the Lord Jesus are not removed from the presence of something evil. In fact, our Savior prays specifically in John 17, verse 15. "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." Also, take note of the fact that a refuge is a place of trust. A fortress is a place of defense. Verse 2 does not say the Lord will provide these things. It says rather that the Lord is these things, which is why our dwelling in him, our finding ourselves under his shelter, becomes essential. The next thing we want to notice in verses 3 and 4, what God does as our refuge, it says, "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." The psalmist names here three actions that the Lord takes on our behalf. The first action, it says, he will save you from the fowler's snare. The word save or deliver is from a Hebrew word that means to separate, to cause removal. Removal from what? From the deadly, deceptive trap that we could be lured into. This trap would include many things connected to temptation, of course, but as well as fear, unbelief, deception, confusion, and even doubting the sovereignty of our God. The second action, he covers with his feathers under his wings. The Lord is pictured here as a bird keeping close watch over its young. Whether you fully realize it or not, being under his wing is an amazing protection. With regards to this, Isaiah 40, verse 31 interests me. It says, those who wait or hope or trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. It is the Father's intention that you soar in the Spirit. But Satan is a fowler, a bird catcher who seeks to pull you down and enslave you with deception and fear. So this image in Psalm 91 not only speaks of protection and shelter, but also of closeness. Before we can rest in the security of God, we must continually draw near to him, live in close communion with him. A third action that we see here is he shields with his faithfulness. God is assuring us that we are indeed protected by his faithful presence. The Hebrew word for shield depicts a protective barrier large enough to protect a soldier from a burst of arrows. You remember what Paul wrote to the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. At this point, I am reminded of the words of the prophet Isaiah. Special words to me, they've been so dear to me for so many years. He wrote, but now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Do you know what this is telling us? The Lord will help you maintain your perspective when the circumstances of life are wanting to completely overwhelm you. When you don't know what to do, when it seems that there is nothing you can do, he will help you keep it together. Why? Because you belong to God. God speaking through Isaiah says, you are mine. Sometimes when we go through hard times, we're tempted to think, I'm not a good Christian. I'm not a good person. I don't have great faith. Why should God help me? During these times, we must remember what he said. You are mine. You belong to me. God will protect you. Every step of the way, it is his promise. Notice what God promises also through the prophet Isaiah. Once again, that verse, that second verse, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And then in the fifth verse of Isaiah 43, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Isaiah doesn't promise that you will be saved from the fire or the flood, the pestilence, whatever, he promises that you'll be protected in the midst of it. He is saying, you'll face circumstances beyond your control, but God will get you through them because he is in control. Not only will he get you through, but notice, going back to Psalm 91, verses 5 and 6, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Intimidation is one of the enemy's sharpest darts of deception. But don't ever forget, we are safely surrounded by the shield of God's protection. We are under the shelter of his wing. We live in a culture of fear, where people are worried about everything from virus pandemics to identity theft, terrorist attacks to financial ruin. But here the psalmist rejoices not only in the saving power, but the keeping power of our God. Does this mean that believers will be immune from danger? No. But it does mean that regardless of the physical, emotional, or spiritual battles surrounding us, the Lord himself is our refuge. Therefore, what else do we need? He is more than enough. In Scripture, as seen here in verse 13 of Psalm 91, Satan is depicted as both a lion and a serpent who seeks our destruction on a daily basis, but he is a liar. Amen? He is a liar, and he has no problem. He is no problem for our God, who is greater, who is the lion and serpent slayer. Now in verses 14 through 16, we see what God does for those who love them. We actually find him making a pledge to those who love him. It says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91 closes with a message from the Lord himself. And did you catch what the Lord said? He says that those who love him and those who know him can claim what he promises for them. The Hebrew word used for love in verse 14 is unusual and rare. It is from a Hebrew word that most often carries the idea of attaching something to something. An example would be attaching a saddle to a horse or a plow to an ox. The idea being conveyed is that of clinging and grasping, embracing, or being tied and bound. God's promises then are for those who cling to him in faith. God's promises are for those who bind themselves to the Lord. God's promises are for those who wrap themselves in the Savior's love and are covered by his blood. What a way to live. In fact, it is the only way to live. In Psalm 57, verse 1, David writes, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you, my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. It is my hope and prayer that both Psalm 91 and Isaiah 43 strengthen and encourage you, because there is no better place to be than the dwelling and in the shelter and being under God's mighty wing. Once again, it says he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. People everywhere today are in need of a sense of security. True hope and security are only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be among those who are reflecting that truth. Would you pray with me, please? Oh Lord, where would we be without you? We are desperate for you. We call out to you. Please hear our prayer. Hear our prayer of repentance for the times when we have gone astray, the times when we have gone our own way. Lord, please listen to our cry for mercy and forgiveness. And Lord, teach us your way. And help us to rely completely on you and your faithfulness and your divine protection. Lord, I ask that you give us an undivided heart so that we would hear you more clearly, trust and follow you more intently, obey you completely, and love you faithfully. You are all that we have. You truly are more than enough. And so we praise you and we worship you with everything that is in us. To you be the glory, in Christ's name.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com.